may be seated, and if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. My subject this morning, the thoughts and feelings of Jesus. The thoughts and feelings of Jesus. What does God think? How does God feel? The Apostle Paul poses this very question in my text this morning, 1 Corinthians 2:16. The Apostle said, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Look at your neighbor and tell him, "I have the mind of Christ." Now, I want you to listen to this same verse in the Amplified Version, 1 Corinthians 2:16. "For who has known or understood the mind, the counsel, and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ," and listen to this, "and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart." We hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of the Lord's heart. I want to talk to you about having the mind of Christ, my subject, the thoughts and feelings of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for gracing this place with your presence, with the anointing, with the singing, the worship, and seating us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, I ask you to give us a listening ear. Let me preach your gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let my tongue be like that of the writer's pen. Give us, Lord, revelational knowledge. Give us your heart, your compassion, and let us know how you feel about things that are going on around us. We bless you and praise you, and everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Look at 1 Corinthians, Philippians 2 and 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." And listen, "he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being formed and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Look at verse 9. "Wherefore, because he gave himself willingly, went to the cross, paid redemption's price. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." He said, let the mind of Christ to bring redemption to the whole world, let that mind be in you. Now, the King James Version says we have the mind of Christ. But the Amplified Version, it really thrills my heart. It says we have the mind of Christ and we do hold the thoughts of Jesus, the feelings of Jesus, and the purposes of his heart. You know, that's a wonderful thing to think and to feel like Jesus. You know, but as you look through the Bible, there's some wonderful people, some wonderful men and women in the Bible that we all would like to be like. It'd be wonderful to be like Abel, who offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. I want to be like Abel because he made a difference in his generation. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Abel? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Noah? Noah, in a generation that was exceedingly wicked and every imagination and thought of man was only evil continually. But the Bible says Noah found grace. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You know, God commanded him to build that ark, and he obeyed and he built it, even though there had never been a drop of rain. Now, that's faith. That's real faith. I want to be that kind of person. Don't you? Someone who has faith, someone who obeys God totally. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Abraham? This man was called of God to go into a place he didn't even know where he was going. He didn't question God. He didn't know where he was going. He just left it all and he followed God. That faith was demonstrated in that man because of his obedience. These were all great men of faith. And the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first principle of faith, you must believe in an unseen God. You must believe he is, and you must believe that if you will seek him, he will reward you openly, and others will see God's blessings upon your life. Somebody go on and praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love Enoch. Brother Woody, you remember my sermon from way ago. Enoch walked with God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be like Enoch? The Bible says Enoch walked with God. The Bible says so-and-so was born and he died, and so-and-so was born and he died, and so-and-so was born and he died, and Enoch lived 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and the Bible says he was not, for he had this testimony that he pleased God, and God took him, hallelujah. One day Enoch was walking with God, and he got so close to heaven, God said, hey, Enoch, you're closer to my home than yours. You're closer to heaven right now than we are to earth. So come on home. Come on home with me, Enoch, hallelujah. I want to be like that, don't you? I want to be like people. Enoch, in my generation, how he touched people. Glory to God. Think about Elijah, David, a man after God's own heart. I want to be like that. I want to be like Andrew and Peter and John. And when Jesus came by, he said, follow me. And they just left their nets. They left everything behind and they followed Jesus. I want to be like Paul. Paul had dreams and visions and revelations from God. And Paul operated in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, that man, he was something else. He walked close with God. You know, Jesus needs people like that today, people who will leave everything, forsake everything, all the things of this world, and follow him totally. Caleb, he wholly, completely, totally walked with God. Hallelujah. I like those old men in the Old Testament there. I think about Peter. Oh, I can identify with Peter because Peter wept bitterly over his sins. I want to be like Peter because Jesus found him in his sorrow, in his sadness, and he restored him, and he let him preach the gospel, and he preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Don't you want to be like that? Hallelujah. Oh, I think about all these great people that I'm talking about, but when I get through with all of them, they pale in the light of Jesus, in the light of his glory and his grace. Oh, when we compare them to Jesus, they pale in their insignificance to him. And when all is said and done, all I can say is, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, 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 I want to be like you. If that's your testimony, look at your neighbor and tell him, I want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, I want to have your heart. I want to have your compassion. I want to have your feelings. I want to have your concern. I want to have your love. And the Bible says we have the mind of Christ and we do hold the thoughts and the feelings and the purposes of his heart. Think about it, church. We can make a difference. We don't live a purposeless life. We have purpose. God has chosen you and God has ordained you. And God said, I want you to walk with me and I want you to talk with me. And I want you to be my witness. I want you to be my light in a world of darkness. See, Jesus set his face to do the will of God. And we need to have a purposeful life just like that. We need to know his feelings. We need to have his feelings in our heart. We need to have his thoughts. You know, I've preached two sermons recently on guarding your thinking. And we need to guard our thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can't be something until you think something. You can't achieve something until you think something. Hallelujah. And if you can get your thinking right, and if you get your thinking lined up with the Word of God, eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not even in the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. We need to get our thinking straight. Amen. We need to guard our mind. But the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We need to think like Jesus. We need to feel like Jesus. You know, religion can be so mean. And religion says you can't do this and you can't do this and that. And if you break this rule, and then you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. Thank God, when I got saved and when you got saved, we did not get religion. We got a relationship with the Most High God. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. And we're to have tender hearts. And we need the mind of Christ. And we do hold the thoughts and the feelings and the purposes of his heart. And the reason for this, church, is this, that the only Jesus people will ever see is you. One man said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one walk with me than merely tell the way. You know, you can tell a phony, you can tell a fake, a real person to get down there where you are. They feel your heart. They feel your hurts. They feel your pain. They'll show up and pray for you. Hallelujah. Because they have the mind of Christ, the feelings of Christ. You know, people are watching you. And the only Bible some of them will ever read is you. You're writing a gospel, a chapter each day by the way you live and by the words you say. Amen. You see, we're God's representative down here on earth. How does God feel? How does Jesus feel about the situation? What does he think about the dying, crying, sighing, suffering, broken, fragmented people that we meet each and every day? What are his purposes in all these things? How does he feel about people who get away from God and they leave the church and they leave the house of God and leave the local church and they get out there somewhere and they just stop and they stay there for years and years? They go away from God. What does Jesus think about that? What are his thoughts? What are his feelings? What does God think about the prodigal? Well, Jesus tells a story. You know the story. You know how he feels. He said there were two sons, and one of them said, "Give me a portion of my goods that I may go." And he left, and he took his journey, and he went into a far country. And many who are here today in your hearts, you're in a far country. Many of you who are watching through that camera, through social media, you're in a far country. But we love you, and God loves you, and God is calling to you. Listen to the story. The Bible says that he wasted his substance on riotous living. Wine, women, and song. He spent it all. And he lost his friends. He lost them all. He ran out of money and ended up in the hog pen. In a hog pen, feeding hogs. And finally, one day, he came to himself. Aren't you glad that one day you came to yourself? One day you came to your senses. One day you said, "This is not working. And I've heard about Jesus, and I'm going to make my way to Jesus." And somehow, I don't know if it was at home where you built that altar, but all of us have an individual testimony. We made our way to Jesus. We came out of darkness into the marvelous light, and we've been going and going and going and going. Woo! Ever since. I tell people, I got something inside of me that's stronger than an ever-ready battery. It's called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He'll quicken your body. He'll quicken your mind. He'll quicken your spirit. The Bible says if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body by the same spirit that dwelleth in you. One day the prodigal came to himself. Look at Luke 15:17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my fathers had bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." I love this. "I will arise and go to my father." You know, I'm sure he wondered what the father would say, but he came to himself and he said, "I'm going home. I'm going to say, 'Father, I have sinned and I'm not worthy to be called your child.'" That's how so many people feel. I talk to them on the phone, and they're away from God, and they tell me, "I messed up, Pastor, I messed up, and I'm ashamed to come back to church. I'm ashamed for people to see me. They know what I've done." I said, "Don't run from God. Run to God. We do hold the thoughts and the feelings and the purposes of his heart. Come to God." Hallelujah. So many people feel like that, and they're afraid to come back because they have failed. Maybe you failed. But we hold the thoughts and feelings of his heart. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad we have an advocate with the Father? Aren't you glad that if you make a mistake, you don't have to give up? That God loves you, God cares, God knows, and God is for you. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So the prodigal got up and he started home. And the Bible says when he was yet a great way off, a great way off, the father saw it. Evidently, the father who represents God, he had been looking for him. And God is looking for you today. Hallelujah. God is looking for you. And while he was yet a great way off, the Bible says the father ran. That's the only place in the Bible that it talks about God running. We do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. And church, that's the way we ought to feel. We ought not to condemn people. We ought to love them. We ought to receive them back. The father ran and welcomed him back. And he said, "Father, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called your son." The father said, "Just hush, be quiet. And the father told one of the servants, go get the best robe. I don't want an old, ragged, worn-out robe. I want you to get the best robe. And I want you to get a ring. And I want you to get some shoes and put him on his feet. My son, we're going to have a party. My son was lost. He's found. Hallelujah. He's come home. We're going to be married. Glory to God. We ought to have the same thoughts and feelings of God toward people that have drifted away from God. When I think about it, we ought to have his feelings toward the fallen. This is a day when the culture says it's all right to sleep with anybody. It's all right to break up your home. It's all right to have premarital sex. It's all right to have an adulterous relationship. This is a day where it says it's all right to live a life of sin. It's all right to have an alternative lifestyle. But what about the fallen? What about God? How does God feel when people fall? What are God's people, God's feelings toward people that are living together and yet they're not married? What are God's feelings about adultery and alternative lifestyles? What are the feelings of God who get toward people who get married over and over and over again? How does God feel about these things? Well, we know how God feels from the Bible. Jesus came down here and he walked among men as God. He was God in a human body. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John said, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. I love this, full of grace and full of truth. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's full of grace, full of mercy? Go on, praise him. He showed you mercy instead of judgment. When Jesus saw the religious crowd, he saw how harsh and how hard they were on people. You know, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. But it never talks about harshness in your holiness. We need a tender heart. Jesus saw people. They came dragging a poor girl one day that was caught in the very act of adultery. And these religious Pharisees, we caught her in the very act. We were looking through the keyhole. We saw her in the act. We'd been there now all night long in the red light district trying to find somebody in the act. That's how mean religion is. That's just how religion acts. Amen. Jesus said to those religious people, you generation of vipers, you brood of snakes. You won't go in, but you won't let anybody else go in. How can you escape the wrath of God? And how can you escape the damnation of hell? Let me tell you, you do need to live right, because that is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. But how does God feel about religious people? He condemns them. Amen. Those acts, he doesn't condemn the person. Jesus didn't come to condemn. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Go back in your mindset. Go back when you were bound in chains of darkness. Go back when the devil had you in his clutches and Jesus came and a chain breaker. Woo! Broke every chain. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Some of you come out of drugs. Some of you come out of alcohol. Some of you come out of the cesspools of sin and iniquity. But thank God you came out. You came out of darkness into the light. And you're going to walk with the Master. Hallelujah. We do hold the thoughts and feelings of his heart. They dragged her down there and they threw her at Jesus' feet like a dirty rag. She was somebody's daughter. She could have been your daughter. She could have been my daughter, somebody's little daughter that went astray. And they were ready to kill her. And they said, what does the law say? The law says to stone her. But what do you say, Jesus? Jesus said, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And Jesus stooped down. I got a sermon somewhere. Jesus touched the dirt. That's what he did in my life. He reached down and touched the dirt. Glory to God. And he wrote on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. But one by one, the accusers, they began to walk away. And Jesus stood up and he lifted her up. How does Jesus feel about fallen humanity? Look at John 8 and 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself, woo, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Had no man accused thee? Look at verse 11. She said, I love this. No man, Lord. At that moment, she turned from her sin and she turned to Jesus. with all her heart and made Jesus Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Some of the greatest words in the Bible. Neither do I condemn thee. Woo! There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law couldn't do, it was weak through the flesh. God sent his own Son, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that we might, woo! Be made the righteous of God. Somebody, go on and praise him. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. Some of the greatest words in the Bible. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, the only one who had the right to stone her was Jesus. He had the right, but he wouldn't do it. And if you want to be like Jesus, you'll have to stop stoning people. He said, hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How does God feel about fallen people? That's how he feels. He will pick you up when the religious crowd will push you to the side and say you're useless, you're worthless. But God sees worth. God sees value in you. He'll restore you. He'll give you life. He'll give you eternal life. He'll give you life and that more abundantly. We do hold the thoughts and feelings of Jesus in our hearts. Hallelujah. How does God feel about the divorce? You know, religion can be real mean if you've had a divorce. That was a woman at Jacob's well. She had been married 5 times. She tried once, divorce. She tried twice, divorce. 3, 4, 5 times. She just got tired of, said, it's no need to try marriage anymore. So we'll just live together. I done paid that priest enough to marry me. Amen. And Jesus said, I need go to Samaria. He had somebody on his mind. Hallelujah. So how does God feel? What are his feelings? What are his thoughts? And what are his purposes for a person like that? We look at a drug addict and we say, no good, no good. They can never be anything. God looks at them and says, I see a preacher. I see a song leader. I see someone that will love me with all their heart. I see a miracle in the making. Are you a miracle? You are. Go on, praise God. You are a miracle in the making. Woo! Glory to God. So many people, their lives are all messed up. Billy Graham said, you can't unscramble scrambled eggs. Another man said, well, just go and make an omelet. I tell you something. That's all you can do. You know, life can give you some, deal you some lemons. So just make some lemonade. Make the best of it. Hallelujah. God will take you where you are, and God will make you into what you ought to be. Woo! Glory. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he passes through Samaria where this woman is. And he starts talking to her, and he said, give me some water to drink. And she said, well, I'm a woman, and I'm a Samaritan, and the Jews, they have nothing to do with the Samaritans, and you're talking to me? See, Jesus broke all the social barriers, and Jesus broke all the racial barriers, because there is no race to him but the human race. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go on, praise God. He saw people, men and women, as they were human beings. And Jesus told that woman, said, if you knew the gift of God and who I am, you would ask of me and I'd give you some living water. Now, this woman had been married 5 times. Do you know what she said to Jesus? She said, I know the Messiah's coming. I know he's coming, and when he comes, he's going to make everything all right. Think about that. You know, we think about fallen people. We think about wicked people, and we don't think they ever think about God, but they do. She said, I know the Messiah's coming, and Jesus revealed himself, woo, to that fallen woman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He revealed himself. Look at this. John 4:26. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You're looking at the Messiah, Jesus said. That's what he said to that fallen woman. Oh, fallen people, stand up. Stand up if you've fallen. God loves you. God loves you. He wants you to come back. Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am here. And he said, go call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you're right. You've had five husbands. The man you're living with right now, he's not your husband. Jesus said, I got some living water I want to give you. She took one drink of that water. Woo! And what was her message? Woo! She went running through the city. Come see a man. Come see a man. Come see a man that told me all the things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the whole city came to see Jesus. Jesus that is alive. Jesus that forgives. Jesus that saves. Jesus that restores. Hallelujah. The whole crowd came out to see Jesus, a Jesus who does not condemn. Let me tell you, if you have fallen, God loves you. And God will take you back if you'll only repent and say, I've messed up, oh Lord. Forgive me and wash me. Hallelujah. Church, we do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. And we need to get out of the judgment chair. And we need to get into the chair of mercy. What about the demon possessed? One man was possessed with thousands of demons. And Jesus crossed that Sea of Galilee to reach one man. What about those who are driven by demon power? How does God feel? Does he hate them because they use such bad language and because they give themselves over to the devil? No. No. Jesus went over there and he drove those 6,000 demons out of that man. That's how God feels. Hallelujah. And many times people are driven by demons, homosexual demons, lesbian demons, sexual demons, by demons of greed. They're driven by familiar spirits, demons that open the door into the occult and all kind of things like that. But Jesus still loves you. And his feelings are this. Jesus says, I want to deliver you. He's got the power to deliver you. And praise God in his name. You're in a church. We don't run a referral station here. It doesn't matter what you're bound by. If you'll come to this altar and come to see Jesus and meet him, not the preacher, I promise you one thing. Every chain and every shackle that holds you in darkness, it'll be broken because Jesus is a chain breaker. Hallelujah. He came to set the captive free. He announced his mission and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said, I'm the anointed one. If your eyes are blind, I'll open them. If you're held in bondage, then I'll free you. He said, if you need salvation, I'll provide that. He said, whatever you need is in me. He said, I'm anointed. He said, put a demand on the anointing. Praise God. Put a demand on the anointing that's in this place. If you're sick, put a demand on the anointing if you're lost. Put a demand on the anointing if you're bound by habits that are unpleasing to God. Things you can't get free of. Put a demand on the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord is here. And where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Go on and praise him. Hallelujah. We ought to have the same love and compassion and feelings in our hearts that Jesus has. What about the sick? So many people in the church, they're sick. So many people, you go to some churches, they hadn't seen a person healed in years. No manifestations of the Spirit. They hadn't seen anybody saved in years. They have no compassion. They don't know anything about the thoughts and feelings of God's heart. They have religion. I'll tell you one thing. When I got saved, I got the heart of God. Woo! I got his compassion. I got his love. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, something came over me. Glory to God. Dunamis power. Glory to God. The power of God, the anointing of God to set the captive free. And you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover because God gave a command and you need to know it. You can lay hands on the sick in my name, Jesus said, and they shall recover. We don't run a referral station. Hallelujah. Bring the sick. Bring them out to Westmoreland. We got people in here that can pray the power of God down. This church is air conditioned, but it's prayer conditioned too. Come on out. Hallelujah. We want to teach you about Jesus. We want to show you the way. Glory to God. You know, Jesus, he went about all the cities and all the villages healing all manner of sickness and disease. Jesus taught, Jesus preached, and Jesus healed. And any preacher in any pulpit of America, he ought to teach the word of God, preach the word of God, and heal people in Jesus' name. Look at Matthew 14:14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed. He healed the sick. He was moved with compassion. He healed them all. We ought to have the same feelings. We ought to have the feelings of Jesus towards suffering, sighing, crying, dying humanity. We ought to know the command that Jesus gave. These signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't just save us so we could go to heaven. He saved us to do a mighty work, to be his representative here on this planet, to establish his kingdom, to set the captive free. That's why we pray for the sick here at Westmoreland. We want people healed. We want people delivered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This church has the thoughts and feelings of Jesus. Westmoreland, say it with me. A loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. Say it again. A loving, growing church, bringing hurting families to a healing Jesus. That's who we are. Hallelujah. What does Jesus think about people that the doctors have given up? I had a call yesterday. An individual told me they're sending my mother home. Text me. These are the words. Sending my mother home to die. You may have been given up by the doctor. I mean, a good doctor. A doctor that's done everything he can, but he can't help you. And medical science just reaches the place where they say no hope. How does Jesus feel about people like that? Who've had the doctor say, we can't help you anymore. Just go on home and die. How does he feel? Well, that was a woman in the Bible. She had an issue of blood. She'd been 12 long years. She'd suffered many things and gone to all the doctors. She'd spent all the money, and she grew no better. She just grew worse. No hope. But she heard about Jesus. What kind of Jesus did she hear about? Did she hear about a denominational Jesus that's lost his power? Did she hear about a religious Jesus that wouldn't help her? No, what kind of Jesus did she hear about? She heard about the Jesus that we preach here at Westmoreland. Hallelujah. She heard about Jesus and his great healing power. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she reached out and she touched him, and immediately that blood flow stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? I can see her just making her way through the crowd. If I can just get to him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. She had read Malachi, the son of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. She said, that's the one. I'm going to touch him. I want to tell you, he's touched with the feelings you have, and you can touch him today. Glory to God. Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, everybody's touching you. And you said, who touched me? He said, that was a different touch. That was a touch of faith. I felt power. I felt virtue flow out of me. I felt the demand put on the anointing that's in me. Hallelujah. And like a little whipped animal, she came and fell at the feet of Jesus. Said, it was me, Lord. It was me. Did I do anything wrong? Did I do anything wrong? It was me, Jesus. I just wanted to be well. They told me I couldn't get well. But I believed if I could get to you, I could be well. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, go in peace, daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Paul said, it is the word of faith which we preach. So what men and doctors cannot do, Jesus can do. How does God feel? How does Jesus feel about a lost world? Hundreds and thousands of people who are lost, who have never been saved. How does Jesus feel? He's reaching out to people today. He's reaching out through those cameras. He's reaching out to you in this church. He cares. He said, I've come to seek you out. I've come just for you. But what if everybody got saved and you didn't get saved and you died and went to hell? What an awful thing. We do hold the thoughts and feelings of Jesus here at Westmoreland. And I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, where would you go? Are you sure that you know Jesus? Are you sure that you're born again? Are you sure that your sin's under the blood? 12 o'clock. Have you made peace with God? I've told you how Jesus feels toward you. No matter what kind of situation you're in. I saw one individual walk in today. The Lord reminded me of the power of prayer. Friday night, I called that person's name out in prayer. And I saw them. I can't tell you what that did to my heart. Others were praying for you. We do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. I want us all to come. Make it easy for others to come. Let's come and talk to Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. If you were the only person, just like that man he went across to set free from those demon spirits, he went all the way across the Sea of Galilee for one man. He went to Jacob's well for one woman. And he's here today. Come on, let's all come to the altar. Here at Westmoreland, we come to the altar, everybody that can. There's a fire on this altar. The Bible says the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. And the old ashes have to be removed each day, and new fire, new fuel has to be put on that altar. I put some fuel on the altar today. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost has put some fuel on this altar. Come to the altar. Come close. Everybody come in. Talk to God. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from God, how long you've served Him, and how long you've lived a good sanctified life. We need Jesus. Hallelujah. How does Jesus feel? Jesus said, be thou made whole. Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Be made whole. Hallelujah. How does Jesus feel? Be whole. Be whole. Lord, bless as only you can bless. Take the brokenness, oh God, and restore joy. Bring someone special, Lord. Lord, sometimes we've dealt some hard blows, and we just need you to give us a miracle.
Yes, sing with me.
Produce that miracle, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. A miracle, Lord.
Glory.
I love you. Bless you. Thank you for your song.
How great.
Thank you for your spirit. Hallelujah.
Our God.
I bless you.